Good to be here at Wiseball and appreciate the service this morning. Amen. We could leave right now. God has come and ministered to us and amongst us, and He's been here with us. Amen. Amen. Well, this is all, it's always the people's service. And if anybody else has anything on your heart, we certainly want to hear from you. Amen. I appreciated the songs, all of them, this morning. Stand with me, if you will, today, and turn over to the book of Hebrews. Very, very well-known passage of Scripture that we're going to read as somewhat of a reference point. And if things continue as I think they will, we'll probably read this again tonight. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. There are a lot of truths and a lot of topics in these two verses. But we're going to use it more as a reference point today for the race and the journey that we are in. All right, Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house. We thank You for the songs that we have sung, and we thank You for Your Spirit that has been here with us this morning. And we thank You, Father, for this group of people who we have come to love and appreciate. And Lord, we just pray that You would be with us in the remainder of this service and throughout this Christian Sabbath day. We pray You would be with those, Lord, that are at camp meeting, and be with the pastor and his family. Bring them back safely, renewed and refreshed as well. We pray You would guide each and every one of us in Your steps. And we ask it all in Your name. Amen. You may be seated. As I was growing up, oftentimes my father went to great lengths to make sure that we had a family vacation, sometimes on very little money, sometimes in old cars. I remember once that we took three spare tires with us on one vacation. And things in the 1960s were slightly different than they are today. But I remember that once all of the stress and the strain of getting everything wrapped up and getting everything organized so the church was taken care of, so that the house or whatever was taken care of, everything was packed and loaded. And my father didn't go on vacation back then without taking a full toolbox with him. There was nothing in that day that he couldn't fix bumper to bumper. And sometimes it happened. But all that was loaded in the car and loaded up the family, between three and four kids in the back seat, before seat belts and car seats, and you could sleep on the floorboards and in the back window. And we headed off on family vacation. We'd get down the road, and maybe it'd take 25 miles, maybe it'd take 100 miles. And finally, all the stress of everything started to wash away and kind of float out the open windows and the vents. You remember the old vents you turned in to get the air in. And finally, all the stress started to flow out the windows, and my dad started to feel free. And he was on vacation, the family was on vacation, and we were headed off for some destination, sometimes with the green army tent in the back, in the trunk, and we'd be off to the Black Hills or off to Yellowstone or off to the East Coast or up to see the relatives in Michigan, and he would start to sing his traveling song. Now, he only had one traveling song, and this is the closest I'm going to ever come to singing a special for you guys here at Wiseball, so listen up, because it's going to be real short. But my dad would be down, and he'd be driving. He was an excellent driver, and he'd be driving down the road, and he'd start to sing his traveling song. And it would go like this. Well, I ain't got a barrel of money, and maybe I'm ragged and funny, but I'll travel along singing my song side by side. That's all I ever heard of that song. It wasn't until some time ago as an adult that I actually looked it up, thanks to the internet, and was able to find out that it actually had more to the chorus and several verses. And it was entitled Side by Side. In fact, some of it says, "Don't know what's coming tomorrow. Maybe it's trouble and sorrow. But we'll travel the road, sharing the load, side by side." Almost sounds like a wedding song, doesn't it? But anyways, that was my dad's traveling song. I heard that. I must have heard that 100 times. And we get back up and head back out on the road the next day. And if things were going good and his stress level was low, it wouldn't be too long. And he'd run through about 5 of those. He'd sing the same thing over and over and over. And you wouldn't have believed at the moment he was singing it that he was a rather dignified pastor and preacher of the gospel. But once he got free of all that, that was his traveling song. And that's what he'd sing. Ain't got a barrel of money. I think that was the part he really appreciated the most. And maybe we're ragging and funny. And sometimes those old cars were. But we'll travel along singing our song. Well, how many of you knew that in the Bible there is a whole set of traveling songs? And I want us today to look at those. And if you'll turn with me to the book of Psalms, we're going to look at some traveling songs. And I want you to turn over to Psalm number 120. Psalm number 120. So, in this passage, and I say passage because there's actually a group of psalms together that are labeled in my King James Version. I don't know if you have the same type of notations in your Bible, but if you look at Psalm 120, you'll see under there, it might say something like a song of degrees, right? A song of degrees. Some of you, it might say a song of ascent, like ascending, you know, going up, ascending Mount Everest, a song of ascents. And you might have some other designation. Those are the two most common if you have a Bible that adds in that type of designation. These particular psalms, and they run from Psalm 120 all the way over to Psalm 134. If you look there, you'll see that if your Bible's like mine, every one of these psalms that's grouped together from 120 all the way over to 134 is either labeled a song of degrees or a song of ascent. And these were songs. Now, we call them psalms. It starts with a P, right? Psalms. But they actually were a song that was sung by the Jewish people. And it was thought by scholars that these were songs that were sung as people traveled to the holy city, Jerusalem. As they traveled or as they made their process up toward Jerusalem, that's why they're called songs of degree, as you get closer and closer and closer. And or as you go up and then up and then up, you would sing these various songs. These were songs that no doubt could be set to music. They had some kind of rhyme. They had some kind of meter, like the songs that we've sung this morning. It's hard for us to appreciate that. We obviously don't have it in the original language, so we can't hear the rhythm. We can't hear whether they rhyme. We can't hear the way the song is put together. But we know that these are songs and that they had some relationship to traveling. They had some relationship to moving and going toward Jerusalem. So it's an interesting set of psalms. Now, I would like you to real quickly with me, we're going to go through several of these and just read a few verses to kind of point out in just this one little section from Psalm 120 all the way up to Psalm 134, there are some passages that you and I have heard over and over and over. We've heard them many times. So buried in this little group of traveling songs, okay, we're going to call them traveling songs, kind of like my dad, he had his traveling song. We're going to read just very briefly that there are some passages that are very common. We've heard them all our lives. So keep your Bibles open and follow with me. I want you to look at Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. How powerful this is. We've heard it many times. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Very powerful promise, right? One that we've heard. We've heard preachers use that. I can look up to the hills from whence cometh my strength, and my strength cometh from God. Psalm 122, verse 1. This one we hear oftentimes when somebody is taking care of a service. They might quote this psalm. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Right? Very common passage. These little psalms have a lot in them that we're quite familiar with. Turn over to 126, Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Have you heard this before? Maybe somebody like your mother or your grandmother quoted it to you. Verses 5 and 6, or maybe you've heard somebody preach about it. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. What a wonderful promise, right? If you pray for someone and you bear the burden, it promises here, those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What a great promise for you that you're praying for relatives or you're praying for people you know that are your neighbor where you work. Those that pray and sow in weeping and sorrow will come back bearing joy. What? It's great, great passages we've all heard many times. Psalm 127, verse 1. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. How many times, you know, we've talked about missionaries going out and starting a work and someone starting a new church or whatever. And we would say, well, they can have a wonderful building, but unless the Lord buildeth the house. Except the Lord build the house. Another very common one. Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verses 3 and 5. I've heard this one different times. And it's kind of out of vogue a little bit in our society today. But this is a common one. Or one that we've heard. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Recently, we had Mother's Day and Father's Day, and I heard that thing come up. Somebody, I forget if it was in my house or church, you know. Well, we got Mother's Day, Father's Day. When's it going to be Kids' Day? And of course, the answer is always the same, and that is every day is Kids' Day, right? You've heard that. Okay. Well, anyways, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. Well, full means different things to different people. And we just had our daughter Elizabeth down with us for 2 or 3 days, and she's got 2 children, and she is talking like she wants 5 or 6. And well, we'll see. Full means different things for different people, doesn't it? And I guess different people have got a different size quiver. And but it says, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. Very famous passage. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And Psalm 133 and verse 1. Psalm 133, very famous passage. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Right? We talk about the New Testament. They were in one accord in the day of Pentecost. And this is an Old Testament reference that I've heard many times. So here we have from Psalm 120. And notice that, aren't you glad to hear that the Jews didn't have to memorize Psalm 119 to repeat that as they traveled? Right? Psalm 119. Did you notice that 120 came after 119? Even I know that, and I went to public school. But 119 there is really long. My dad would have never got that. He couldn't even memorize a side-by-side song, let alone Psalm 119. But fortunately, Psalms 120 through Psalms 134 are relatively short, and people can sing them. So we have this incredible little group of songs, right? Have this incredible little group of songs that from 120 to 134 that are traveling songs that the Jews sung. Now, there's one thing interesting as I went through this group that I discovered. And I want you to look with me. We've just gone over several passages that are very encouraging, several passages that we all know very well, some that touch on different topics, things, you know, like children, unity, and God is look to the hills. So these very famous passages. But I want us to read one of the short traveling songs, one of these traveling songs that had never stood out to me before, which grabbed my attention because it seems rather depressing. Oh, that's a good way to talk on Sunday morning, isn't it? Just choose a passage of Scripture that seems depressing. All right. Psalm 123. I want you to read this with me. Okay? Follow along here. It's only four verses. Psalm 123. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that He have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Period. End of song. You're kind of waiting. You know, as you're reading this one, you're kind of waiting. And you get down there and it says, our souls were filled with contempt. And, oh my, and we're filled with scorning. And you kind of like get to the end and you're kind of waiting for the writer to at least kind of come back to something positive, right? Like, at least throw in there, but thank the Lord, our God reigns on high. You know, he could have thrown that in, right? Just to kind of encourage you at the end of that scorning mess. But it's not there. Right? You got your Bibles open? I'm not making this up, right? I just read it, right? So here we have four little verses in the middle of these traveling songs, and you have to wonder, what is the deal? Why was this thrown in here? Why was this, what God put this in here for, right? And why would you be, all right, kids, here we go, song number four. We're on song number four as we head to Jerusalem. Now we're going to sing the one about how we're all full of contempt. You know, what my dad would do is after he got done with his traveling song, and he wasn't much of a singer, and after he got done with his traveling song, then he'd say something like this to my mother. He'd say, well, Shirley, he said, go ahead and start us in some choruses. Well, my mom was a piano player and had a nice voice, and so she would get all the family, we'd all sing choruses that we knew. Can you imagine, you know, the father, you know, he looks over and they're traveling, maybe they got a donkey or whatever, and he looks over at his wife and says, well, honey, I guess it's number four. The next one is the contempt song. I don't know, have any of you noticed, thrown in here amongst these songs with all this stuff that we all know about, like brethren living in unity, that all of a sudden there's this little four verse psalm that talks about being filled with all this contempt stuff and scorn? It's like, well, let's stop for a minute and let's kind of break this down, okay? Hopefully I've got your attention. So let's go back. Let's look at verse 1. Unto thee I lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. So first off, the psalm does start similar to that idea of looking up at the hills, right? They're looking up to Jerusalem. They look up to the hills. From whence cometh my strength? And fortunately, we do have an admonition. You know, we kneel to pray because we want God to recognize we are telling Him, we bow before you, right? We bow before you. But we don't kneel so that we can look down, right? We don't kneel so that we can look down. But we kneel to show reverence. But in a biblical sense, we pray to God our Father, and we look up to Him, right? We kneel to show reverence. We look up and we pray. And sometimes when we pray, it doesn't hurt, right? To get up and sit in a chair or to walk around the room. And every once in a while, like we did this morning, arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. We look to Him and we look to God, to the hills from which cometh our strength. And we look up and say, oh God of the universe, oh God of the entire universe, I'm coming to You with the problems I've got. And it says right here, unto Thee I lift up mine eyes, O Thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress. So here's a little, what's called a parallelism. The writer of this song is going to draw a parallel, right? It's going to make two things that are not necessarily the same, but he's going to make them close together or parallel. It's a parallelism. He says, as a servant watches his master, or as a mistress watches her master. That's the first line. Remember, it takes two lines to be parallel. And he's draw the first line. What does that mean? What's the significance of that back in that day? First of all, is there anybody here that has a servant? And I don't mean your kids. It's like my dad back in the late 60s when everybody was getting a washing machine. And somebody asked him one time, said, well, have you gotten your wife a washing machine? He said, yeah, I've got four of them. And they said, really? He said, yeah, they're all four. They're real modern. They're belt driven. Got four of them. He had a belt driven washing machine. Okay, how many of you have a servant? How many of you ladies, you know, have a servant? Not counting your kids. We don't, it doesn't mean a lot to us, does it, right? There was a difference between servants and slaves. There is a slight technical difference between that. I mean, people could be a servant. You could have a hired servant. You could have someone paying off a debt as a servant, a lot of things. But whatever the case, we don't have servants. Okay, even in the job place, even in the workplace or in the job, we have people that are employees, and we have to treat them with respect, and we can tell them, yes, I want you to do this, and somebody has a boss, but they're not exactly a servant. In the Eastern world in that time, oftentimes it was expected that the servant waited and watched. Never said anything, just simply watched. And when the master, when the boss, when his master wanted something, they indicated it with a hand gesture. And if they had to talk to them, it was usually because something went wrong. So we know that, right? You know, we all know how that works, right? You're on the phone. Right. But you actually want your wife to get you something to drink, you know, because the person's been talking for 30 minutes. And so you look at your wife and you go, right? And she's like, oh, okay. So she runs and she gets you something to drink. Okay, now I'm good again. You know, your voice is hoarse. So we all know hand gestures. Stop and think about this. He's drawing a parallel. That's the first line. As a servant waits and simply waits and watches. I might have to wait for 10 minutes. I might have to wait for 3 hours. I'm a servant. I wait. I watch. Now the next line of the parallel, he says, as a servant or a mistress stands and waits and watches and waits for that hand signal, right? Whatever their signals were, right? We have our signals, right? He wants something to drink, you know, whatever it is. I often directed them with hand signals. They had to wait, just patiently wait. And the next one it says, so our eyes, wait upon the Lord our God until that He have mercy upon us. And they're indicating to Him. They're saying, Lord, we look to You. We look to the God of the universe. We look to the God of Abraham and Isaac. And we look to the God Jehovah. And we look to You, Lord. And yes, we are patiently waiting as Your servants. We're not in a hurry. Humanly, we may be. But we're reminding ourselves that we're going to stand here. We're going to wait until we see Your hand gesture, till we see Your movement. But Lord, we just want to let You know in our prayer and in our traveling song that we are waiting on Your mercy. As a servant would wait on a master, we wait for You, dear Lord. So there is a sense of reverence there that probably wouldn't hurt us in our day and age to stop and think about for a minute, would it? It wouldn't hurt us in this journey that you and I are on. In Hebrews, he talks about the race that we have started. We are running a race. And this race that we have started, we are running and we are on a journey to an end. But in the middle of that, it talks about running with patience. And sometimes we, in this day and age, we get in a hurry and we forget this idea of just calmly standing and saying, Lord, I've brought my petition to you. Lord, I've given you the need. And now, Lord, I'm going to stand like a servant and I'm going to wait until I see your hand move. Just waiting. Lord, I believe in you. I believe in your mercy. Lord, I know you're a merciful God. And Lord, it's been a while now. My ADD's really kicking in, Lord. Yeah, I got adult ADD, Lord. But I'm still, Lord, I'm going to stand here. I'm going to wait. I'm going to calmly wait. I'm not going to get in a hurry. I'm not going to force it. Lord, I'm just going to depend on you. I'm going to keep praying. I'm waiting for you to move. Boy, that's a hard thing in 2019, isn't it? That's a hard thing, right? I mean, every one of us, how many of you this morning have got a cell phone? Yeah, right. I mean, right? We don't hang around and wait anymore, right? How many of you remember the days you traveled in a car without a cell phone, right? And something happened, and you either decided, okay, now, it's 5 miles to the next road, right? And let's see, if I start walking, how long is it going to be before I either get to the road or to the next farmhouse, or should I wait until somebody comes? We don't do that anymore. We don't wait on anything, right? Hey, okay, so I don't even have time to go to Walmart. I'm just going to order it on Amazon, right? We don't wait. But you know what? Every once in a while, we need to read the Old Testament and get the idea, Lord, I'm just standing here. I'm just waiting. As a servant waited on his master, I'm waiting on you. Calmly waiting. Inside, I may be a little bit antsy, but Lord, calmly waiting. Now, let's see what the next thing says, because it gets a little tricky here. Have mercy on us. Verse 3, O Lord, have mercy on us. So now we have a plea that says, Lord, we know you're merciful. We know that you can destroy us at any time. You can put us in Babylonian captivity, Lord. You can do whatever you want to with us, but we ask for your mercy. And here's an interesting thing. This is what I stumbled upon. And I thought, Lord, there's nothing new under the sun. It's the same today as it was back in that day. There is nothing new that's happened. And read this. Have mercy on us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. Now, verse 3 sounds like, right? It sounds like that person is filled inside with contempt. But if you read verse 4, it gives you the context. It reads verse 4, our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those, right? With the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. So what commentators have noted as they've studied the Hebrew is that this is like you and I. If we go outside and all of a sudden we're caught in a rainstorm, right? We're caught in a rainstorm. And I mean, there's no escape. Right? Whatever the case might be. And the next thing you know, you are soaked from head to toe, completely soaked from head to toe. It's running down your back. It's running off your head. It's running off your nose. It's filling up your shoes. You are soaking wet, drenched. Right? And that's what this idea is here. These people are saying, oh, dear Lord, we are so weary of the contempt and the scorn of all the people around us. Some feel that this was written while they were in Babylonian captivity. Whatever the case, it might also mean those that are traveling. They're traveling on that road to Jerusalem, and people are standing off to the side, and they're looking at them, and there go the Jews again. Oh, my goodness. I mean, can you believe them? I mean, they go up there to that temple in Jerusalem, those Jews.
that's got to be the most boring religion you ever saw. It's people talking and say, yeah, I mean, they don't even have any all-night parties. They go up there to their temple. Their religion is so boring. They don't even have any all-night parties. You say, really, Brother Smith? Yeah, you know what? All of the heathen people around the Jews, all those heathen people, you know this, you've heard it many times, all those heathen people around the Jews, the ones that the Lord said you have to destroy completely at times, their religions were filled with all sorts of immorality, drunken revelings and partying. They had nothing to do with being a better person, with trying to walk according to God's law. They were the complete opposite of God's law. And those people could stand off and they could make fun of the Jews. When they were in Babylonian captivity, they could make fun of the Jews. And the Jews had to be servants at times and slaves to the Babylonians, whatever the case might be. They're coming to God and they're traveling on their journey and they say, Lord, we're so tired, we're so wore out with the scorn and the contempt, it feels like we're drenched, we're filled up with it, it's running off of us, we can't get away from it, we're filled with the contempt and the scorn of all the people around us. And I thought, Lord, help us. You know what, if you haven't felt that way at times, you haven't walked outside your house. I want to encourage you, young person, this morning, it's not new. It's not new. And you can go to the Lord and you can say, oh, dear Lord, what is it about other people? Why are people sometimes so incredibly mean? Why do people think they have to make fun of me? What have I done? I haven't done anything wrong. They don't like the way I talk, or they don't like the way I look, or they don't like the way I dress, or they're just making fun of me because they don't like me, period. You know, sometimes it's a real trial for young people. And sometimes it continues all the way into college and early adulthood, and for some people all the way through. You know, there's worried other people scorn them for no reason. You know what? You can come to God and say, oh, Lord, please have mercy on my soul and help me, dear Lord. I wait patiently before you for your help. Oh, I can't stand anymore. I feel like I'm covered and drenched and wrapped up, just overflowing in scorn and contempt of other people. And then you get out of your teenage years and your childhood years and you go into the workplace. And then you know what? It seems like there's always somebody out there in the workplace that just has no respect whatsoever. It doesn't matter if you work at the lowest type job, you know, that you just get the first job out of high school and you're working at some store or flipping hamburgers, or whether you've got a job that's a trade that you've learned and worked hard at. It doesn't matter. There will always be somebody who looks down their nose at you. And they will look at you, and you know what? Sometimes it'll even be the people you think are your friends. And they'll be talking to you and they'll say, oh man, have you seen that movie? I say, well, no, I haven't. Really? You gotta be kidding me. You haven't seen that movie? No, I haven't. Oh, you gotta watch. Hey, listen, I think I've got it. You can get it on Netflix, or I've got it on DVD. I'll bring it over. You gotta watch it. Well, I really don't really care to. What is your problem? Well, I do have a problem. I love Jesus. I'm trying to walk with God. I'm on a journey to heaven, and I've got some things that I have decided I'm going to do, and it doesn't matter if other people look down their nose at me, or if they think I'm crazy, or the way I dress, or the way I walk, or the way I talk, or the way I don't talk, or what I do, or how I look, or all the things that matter. And you know, sometimes as you go through life and you go through your workaday world, and maybe for a while you find a place in life where you don't have much scorn. But then you know something happens down the road. You go to the family reunion and somebody's over there, and like, you know, in your own family, you go to the family reunion and there's somebody, they just kind of got that, oh, brother, not again. Oh, yeah, I know how they are. And then it's somebody's well-meaning, you know. They want to take you out after church on, you know, for dinner. Well, there's not really a Cracker Barrel down the road here at Wise Ball, but, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different places in the United States, and people have, and you say, well, we really don't do that, or, and whatever it might be, there's all sorts of reasons, folks. If you've walked the Christian walk, you know what I'm talking about. And then sometimes it gets when you get to be a grandparent. I've known grandparents. They raise their children, but then there's somebody else in the family, somebody they raise, and they say, well, oh, brother, my mother, oh, my dad, they won't go there. we won't be able to go there because they just won't do that, and the whole family is going to have to change what they want to do just to accommodate them. And they get that kind of scornful contempt in their voice. Now, I don't know. There's this crowd's large enough. I'm guessing that a few of you have experienced something like that. Well, you know what? I didn't have a 3-point message this morning. I didn't have an outline. I had 5 pages of notes, but I left most of them up there on the pulpit because I only had 1 point. It's a 1-point message. And you know what the answer to all that is? You get down there, and if you feel like that, and you say, oh, dear Lord, Lord, I'm a young person. I'm so tired of being made fun of, or I don't know why I don't fit in with the clique, you know, or whatever, you know, this group of people. Lord, I've been working. I'm not even late. I do a good job, and yet people somehow, they look down their nose at me or whatever. You know, even our own family, Lord. What is it that they talk about us behind their back? Or we meet people in church and somebody else says, you mean you don't do that? Oh, my goodness. Well, you say, Lord, I feel like I'm full of this. It's just like drenched. I'm in a rainstorm. And you know what the answer is? You know what the answer is? Sing the next song. That's what I want you to remember this morning. If you've ever been in that place and you've ever had that problem, you've ever felt that way, sing the next song. Let's do that. All right? We're on Psalm number 123. Let's read Psalm number 124. You ever been in that place where you feel drenched with people's scorn, drenched with the world, drenched with all their comments, drenched when you go to Walmart and you're tired of the way people look at you? Here you are, you're clean and you're upstanding, you're honest, you wouldn't shoplift, you wouldn't do anything, and yet somebody's like, you know what? I'm not from Mars, Lord. I'm just a Christian. Sing the next song. Like my dad said, Shirley, start us in some choruses. Psalm number 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now Israel may say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I'm glad that we can come out of all of that. When we feel those things at work, when we feel the barbs from other people, whether it's in the church, out of the church, whether it's a family reunion, whether it's at school, wherever it might be, if you're going to college and you're in some secular university, like, you know, I've been there, others have been there, wherever it is, if you're an older person and you can feel it from other people in your family, whatever it is, you can say Psalm 124, if it had not been for the Lord, my soul would have been eaten up with that contempt and hate, but I'm glad I came out of it like a bird out of the snare, like a bird out of a trap. I can fly with the eagles, I can soar like the eagles, and I can be victorious. Amen. We sang that song, Arise, My Soul, Arise, Shake Off Thy Guilty Fears. I'm glad that He gives us the victory this morning. We are on a journey. We are running a race. I would like you just to turn back to Hebrews for just one moment and see what the Apostle Paul, we think maybe, Hebrews, whatever the case, the writer of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and see what he said about scorn. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. See the phrase? Despising the shame. It doesn't matter. I could care less. Now, humanly, that's so hard to do. It takes God's grace working in me and through me. But it can give me the victory. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's stand this morning. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Our Heavenly Father, We thank you for the Word of God. There are so many widely varied passages, Lord, that it amazes us. After having read it several times, that we still discover things that are new. And we're glad that you open them up to us, Lord. We're glad that you have the victory. We're glad, Father, that in your Word we can find evidence that people down through the ages have suffered the same kind of problems we suffer. And we can look down through the ages and see that they gained the victory by trusting in God. We pray, Lord, this morning that you would take each one of us through on this journey of life. Help us, Lord, as we run the race, that we would do it patiently, waiting on you and on your mercy. Guide each one of these people. We love these people in this church, and we pray, Lord, that you would be with them. Bring us back tonight according to your will, and we ask it all in your name. Amen.